Welcome to the November 21st version of Zuch and Wild. I'm gonna take a step back because it's kind of crazy. We've been doing this every week this whole year. This is the last regular season episode.
We're at rivalry pretty cool. week.
We are at rivalry. I think that's pretty cool. We've had a lot of laughs, a lot of rants, and I think this week is gonna be an encapsulation of the season. Because there's a lot of games I want to laugh at. There's going to be some good rants this week by us and coaches, I think, after some of these games. And I think we're going to see some good games. We saw some good games last week, and we got some good games coming up this week. Big rivalry week. It might run a little long this episode. We got a lot of games to cover.
Oh, yeah. It's one of the best weekends of the year. You start really... Like tomorrow when people get off of work, I would say you get like I think a lot of people take Friday off. So you have Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Great rivalry games. You have basically a winner goes to the playoff game in this Michigan-Ohio State game. Mm-hmm. We'll see how Auburn does, even though they just lost to New Mexico yeah. State. But something tells me that game will be closer than people think it's going to be based on that New Mexico game.
Yeah, the ghost of Gus Malzahn will somehow keep them close. That's the Gus Malzahn special. Lose to Mississippi State by two, and then you beat Alabama by a touchdown.
Yep.
But, last week, really, really awesome games. The top-ranked matchup game was Washington versus Oregon State. It was a later game, but it was a nice game. I felt like Oregon State was punching up the entire game. Also, underrated funny moment. Were you watching the game when the long snapper like sent it over that guy's head and like immediately was just storming around pissed off on the sidelines like no one was talking to him?
I didn't see any of that game. I was at the Steelheads game.
He looked like he was the most stressed out person in the state of Oregon. He was just like, you could see like it was raining so you could see their breath. You just saw... Just breathing heavy. But, yeah, Washington, people, I think, who aren't on the West Coast are going to knock Washington for not winning big again, but they beat the number 11 team in the country. Like, this is an Oregon State team who, if they beat Oregon, who might play in the Pac-12 championship. Like, it is insane to me to think that anything other than Washington moving up in the rankings, because the rankings just dropped today, so... I think they have Washington at 3, or is that 4?
Washington's at 4.
I think that's fair. Yeah, you have some people who are going to get mad at that, but you beat the 11th team in the country. It doesn't matter if you win by 1 point against the 11th team in the country. Move you up. It's actually insane to me. I don't know. Any of your thoughts? I'm on the Penix Heisman train. I think he should get it over Daniels.
Yeah, if they finish undefeated, he's getting it. I think. I don't think they're going to give it to Jaden Daniels with LSU being what they'll be 9-3, right? If they win out, and they have A&M, so it's not assured. I don't think that they'll go and I won't be 8-4. At 8-4, he's not getting the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. No, I just want to be like tweeting stuff, and anyone who thinks Jaden Daniels should be the Heisman, it's fair argument, but I just like I love responding. With just images of Toby Gerhart, like, oh, so you should have thought Toby Gerhart should have won the Heisman then. Oh, record doesn't count, I bet. Yeah, let's vote Toby Gerhart. All-time Heisman candidate, Toby Gerhart. We got to do – you ever think about some of the weird Heisman finalists over the years? And Colin Klein's the one that kills me for finalists.
Yeah, Colin Klein is up there. I mean, you have some people who just won it and then dropped off the face of the earth. Oh, like
Chris Weinke is my favorite at Florida State.
What's it, the Oklahoma guy, Jason White?
Jason White. Like, Tim Couch.
There have been some odd ones.
Even Troy Brown kind of felt. Did Troy Brown win the Heisman?
I'm not sure if he did or didn't. I know the year Jason White did, he threw 35 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. I'm looking at that right now.
What was the competition that year?
Let's see.
Who were the finalists that year? Yeah. Who?
I'm going to look it up.
35-9. I guess that'll get you like a second quarter start in the NFL Pro Bowl, but that shouldn't get you the Heisman.
He was just the third Heisman Trophy winner not to be drafted. And the other two.
It wasn't one guy, of them, like, played basketball. Yeah.
Yeah, Charlie Ward went to the NBA, and the other guy went into the military. Let's see. 2005 Heisman Finals.
That's so pathetic. Jason White didn't get drafted, but he won the Heisman.
Oh, sorry. 2004 is what year it was, not 2005. So in 2004, he actually had 40 touchdowns and 9 interceptions.
Yeah,
or no.
I get that.
Wait. It's 2003. So 40 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, and the other people were Larry Fitzgerald.
All right.
Eli Manning.
Yeah, just some average names here. Totally not NFL stars.
Chris Perry.
Who?
Chris Perry, a running back at Michigan.
Oh, bro.
Who actually didn't have a bad year. He had 1,600 rushing yards and 18 touchdowns, and then Darren Sproles finished fifth.
Fair enough. Perry. Well, I guess we're going to keep on that Michigan hype because we're going to keep the survival train going too. Michigan survived again. They survived again. And J.J. McCarthy, the people who said it last week, Michigan fans think he's the best quarterback in the country. He's fighting for a chance to even be top five right now, Zuge, if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah, part of that, I think, is they're not asking him to do too much. Like, the Penn State game, they obviously just weren't going to throw the ball because why would you? You're playing Penn State. So
playing Penn State, a school that will never win the big game ever.
Exactly. And then, last week I watched, I'm trying to think, because that was, did that game start at 10 a.m.? I'm trying to think of what.
The Michigan, early game.
I'm trying to think of what other games I was watching. It was a weird week last week because there was not any, like, until the nighttime, like, any big, meaningful, like, I guess, playoff, like, factoring games. But yeah, I mean, I think they're kind of saving some of his stuff for this week, to be honest with you.
I think that's a fair strategy. And also, Maryland, I feel so bad. Is Maryland the Kentucky of the Big Ten? Yes. Where they start like 5-1 every year, and then they just lose out, and then you see them in the Belk Bowl, and you're like, all right, yeah, it's solid, I guess. Eight wins.
Yep, every once in a while they'll finish like 10-3, but that is the pinnacle for them, 10-3.
We need a non-con Maryland versus Kentucky, probably a pick'em spread. That would actually be objectively good football, I think. Maryland versus Kentucky. That's about as watch. Evenly matched as that. Maryland versus Kentucky versus maybe like Arizona this year versus. Shoot, I'm trying to find a Big 12 school. Baylor. All four of those schools are just the same.
Speaking of Arizona, do they have any shot of going to the Pac-12 title game?
Yes. They need some losses, though. I think.
Because they lost to Washington and Oregon, right?
Yeah. So they
Washington's going no matter what.
Yeah, they clinched with the game. But Arizona, yeah, big win for Arizona. This week, they beat the crap out of Utah. Also, can we talk about a certain someone who announced his decision to return to college football next year, Cam Rising?
That's unbelievable that guy's still going to be back. That is truly amazing.
I think I looked it up. I think that guy came in to college with me in 2018. I will be now, at the beginning of next year, when he plays, 3 years removed from graduation. Cam Rising, you have entered back into the world of college football. You need to enter the private sector and get a job with a PE firm in Salt Lake City and just live your life, hang your jersey up, maybe play Canadian football for the Alouettes. Shout out the Alouettes for winning the Grey Cup. But it's incredible that guy is approaching Perry Ellis territory.
Yeah, I mean, it's truly... It's insane that guy is still. I can't believe it, to be honest with you.
I don't know. It's him and Britton Covey. Utah has given BYU a run for their money the last couple years with guys just staying around and not doing anything.
Well, even I feel like they always have like a quarterback who seem like they're there. There's that guy who was like almost looked just like Cam Rising. I cannot think of his name, but he was real that like 6'8" guy.
I don't know. I just remember the guy who's a Hundley. That was like kind of my introduction to big, because that's when Utah football like was doing well in the Pac-12, was with Hundley.
Yeah, he seemed like he was. I didn't even know that Cam Rising started at Texas.
You know what? Now that you're reminding me, he did transfer. This guy, this man, Cam Rising. Can you imagine Texas's QB rooms if like the transfer portal like never exists and it's just like Cam Rising, Ewers, Malik Murphy. I guess Malik Murphy comes transferring. So, and like Arch Manning.
And then yeah, just be the, he might transfer honestly now, Arch Manning.
I don't think Arch will transfer with the Texas scenario. They're the Texas. They got a big game this week against Tech. Tech, what a disappointment they've been this year. They were like dark horse, like ranked team.
And people thought they might win the Big 12, and they did not. They started by losing to Wyoming. Travis Wilson is who I was talking about.
Travis Wilson.
I'll put it to you this way. Travis Wilson.
Can we get an image on him?
Travis Wilson, if I can figure out how to put images in here.
I'll get an image of Travis Wilson on here. Travis Wilson. Let me get it on. Oh my gosh, this guy, yeah. Wait. Oh my gosh, dude, look at his Rams picture.
I know, he got transitioned to tight end.
Dude, okay, I'm gonna pull this up real quick. I'm going to pull this up real quick. Oh my goodness, come on. You know, of course Chrome wants to be slow right now.
Of course, I need it to work.
Yeah. Right.
Maybe he wasn't there as long as I thought. He started as a freshman. That's probably why I felt like he was there for so long.
No, but this image is too funny not to share. Oh, here we go. Boom. You see what I'm seeing? It's loaded. It's once we get this image. Once we get...
That's him.
Oh my goodness, bro. Look at this guy. Look at this guy. What are his stats?
It doesn't have any because he didn't ever do anything in the NFL.
No, NCAA. What are his NCAA stats? I want to see what Travis. We've gone off on a Travis Wilson's tangent. Okay. Everyone check back in.
His Wikipedia says he went undrafted in 20.
Look at these touchdown to interception ratio.
Yeah, it was the week.
Hey, he did. Hey, pretty solid 2014 year. 5 rushing tutties, 18 throwing touchdowns. Not bad.
Well, the best part about him, I clicked on his Wikipedia and it says he went undrafted in 2016 and signed with the Los Angeles Rams in 2017. He tried out for the team while working at a surf shop in California.
That's perfect. You know, we can laugh all we want about his terrible like profile pick. That's a guy that's just living life, man. 4-year starter, tried the NFL. He's what Cam Rising should do. You know, just go try. Move back to Southern California where you can get any 6-figure job you want pretty much because you were the quarterback of Utah. So,
right.
Funny stuff. Well, sorry for that tangent. Let's get back to the stuff that we actually are talking about this week. And I'm finally going to give – we're finally talking about Mizzou. And we're only going to talk about them for a little bit. But Eli Tulowitz, pretty good. I mean, not really. Hey. He almost lost to Sun Belt Billy, and you needed a fourth down completion to win the game. But, you know, who am I? Who am I?
Well, if they win, they'll probably go to New Year's Six Bowl.
Oh, I want to see Mizzou. I would love Mizzou versus whatever that Group of Five team is, and just watch Mizzou. Mizzou's the kind of team that would lose to the Group of Five team in the New Year's Six.
Yeah, I mean they're 9 right now, so top 11 you automatically go, right?
Yes.
Because then the 12th team would be,
The G5.
yeah. So
Dude, Mizzou is an interesting. I don't even want to talk about them. I think they're the most overrated team in the country. I think Eli Drinkwitz is the biggest tool in the country. This is a team that I watched that entire game against Florida. And the team, they don't look like a top 12 team, but they just keep winning. And for that, I can't fault them, right?
right.
It's kind of like a less version of TCU, right? Like they keep winning. So like you can't just be the guy that's like, oh, well, they're not better than Ole Miss, of course. Like, but like they're winning, right? They're
Yeah,
gonna be ranked
exactly.
high. Like, they're not better. Like, if you said who wins, Mizzou or Oregon State, most people would say Oregon State's gonna beat the shit out of Mizzou. But Oregon State's gonna be ranked below them. That's just how it is with the wins and losses.
Right.
So I can't fault them, but Eli Drinkwitz, you're gonna get what's coming, and I know you will. You just wait. You just
It's
wait.
coming.
It's coming, and his name is Jamie Chadwell and the Liberty Flames. Oh, strike the stone. Sketchy stuff happened at that university, Liberty. Weird stuff. Jamie Chadwell, man. You think he goes to Mississippi State?
I think he won't be at Liberty long. I don't know if he'll go to Mississippi State, but I mean, but SEC, there's always a bunch of coaches who are gone each year, so we'll see if. I mean, he could go to maybe A&M offers him. Maybe he waits it out and
Think Jamie
Arkansas
Chadwell would.
next year opens up or Florida next year opens up. I mean, even
Come on,
Florida this year.
you don't think Sunbelt Billy is gonna turn it around?
Too, I mean, I think he'll probably get another year, but you had a losing season last year
It's like
and.
the Andy Avalos thing. It's a 3-year build. Like, there's no reason with transfer portals. Like that third year, people become pretty impatient.
Yeah, 6-7 last year. Unless they beat Florida State this year, they'll be 5-7 this year. And the issue is 5-7 this year and losing 5 games at the end of the season. They are 5-2.
Eesh. Graham Mertz. What are you gonna say? Heisman candidate Graham Mertz. Man, what a funny guy. You know, what a funny guy. Graham Mertz. Would you take Graham Mertz?
No.
How many teams do you think you would take him?
No, I would not take him. I mean, he's been okay at Florida, but there's too many good quarterbacks in the portal that you could take, I think.
Well, I'm interested to see what the portal happens. It'll be interesting, this. What's interesting, I mean, obviously Spencer Danielson's interesting. And Boise's just got a special teams commitment today from a kicker who looks like he's going to replace Dal Miss. And he, I mean, solid, right? But then Danielson, if he runs the table, you have to at least give him like an interview. Like, you have to at least like seriously consider him if Spencer Danielson runs the table with Boise State.
Yeah, I think so. I do think that I think people are getting a little over their skis on
I
beating
agree.
Utah
Just a
State.
little. Just a little bit, I
And like
think.
even if they were to win out, I mean I get it being like, all right, the guy went 4-0. Awesome. But killing a Utah State team who's not very good at all. And then I mean we'll see what happens with Air Force. So I still have my doubts they're gonna win that game. But I mean, we'll see. Like it, I don't know. I would think there's some better candidates out there right now than a guy. I mean, I don't dislike Spencer Danielson. I don't think he's a bad coach or anything, but I think sometimes teams get caught up in that like juice they get when they fire a coach and
I
they're like,
agree.
oh, things are great right now. And then, you know,
I think the perfect scenario, at least in my mind, is to keep Spencer Danielson around as a DC, right?
yeah.
But then the thing is, Spencer Danielson wins 3 games in a row, right? Then he might be able to get a head coaching job at a smaller school or D coordinator job at a bigger school. And just say, and like Andy was the one holding me back these years because Spencer Danielson had good defensive stats up until this year. Like
Right.
he was a fantastic defensive coordinator up until this year. Now I think that's combined with a lot of talent leaving last year. So you're playing younger players and inexperienced players. So who knows, maybe next year the defense is better, but it is interesting. It is like, part of me is like, man, like the players are playing well. And like, what if Green and Genty buy in and they don't like leave because Danielson's here. But then on the other side, I'm conflicted because it's like, oh, like I should look past the three games and like we can, if we can get someone, or Boise State can get someone who's been from the outside and brings in a new way of thinking and experience, who knows? So I'm torn on the issue. I think I'm going to let it play out. That's my official opinion for now.
I think we'll know who the coach is at Boise State by.
Well, you have to before the transfer portal nowadays.
Yeah, that, and I think that, especially if Air Force beats them, that we'll know who the new coach is by the end of next week, because every team is going to be basically done playing until their bowl game or done playing period, with the exception of however many teams are playing in conference championship games. So that's when you have to do it, because you want it before December 4th, which is end of next week, I think.
Maybe that's going to be a fun day. That's going to be a fun day, transfer portal day. Although, the thing I will say about the transfer portal, I talked to a lot of people who, and we'll end kind of the last week's games on this. I kind of feel like the transfer portal, when you talk about it with people who don't watch college football, like people don't realize it's like dudes get stuck in the transfer portal and like don't get out. Like, yeah, it's only like what, 50 or 60% of people end up finding a spot. And also, like a lot of these kids, or I can say kids now because I'm older than all of them, which is a crazy thing to think about now. But like a lot of them, like they're downgrading. Not downgrading, because that's the wrong word, because Division I football is Division I football. But you're having a lot of people who it's like you're playing at an SEC school. It's like I'm going to hit the transfer portal for greener pastures. And it's like, I guess now I'm playing at like Eastern Carolina now, you know? Like, yeah, like, you know what I mean? So it's got the pros and the cons of the portal. Like, we only see the top 100 names that get to go wherever they want, while we don't get to see the probably thousands of other kids who are going to be entering the portal in a couple weeks.
Right, and you have to add on, we'll see, because I think Sunday morning we'll start seeing a lot of coaches get fired. Mm-hmm. There's no point really in doing it now this late. If you hadn't gotten fired by now, it's going to be Sunday, but we'll see with like West Virginia, Florida, UCLA.
UCLA is, I think, a dark horse best job in the country. Mm-hmm. Lower expectations. You still have pretty much all the resources as these big schools, maybe a hint less, but still enough to win a national championship in my book. And you're going to the Big Ten. And you can recruit, in my opinion, I'm going to piss a lot of people from Florida and Texas off, the number one recruiting hotbed in the country, in the LA Inland Empire, Orange County area. That is the best, and you can quote me on this, everyone. That is the best high school recruiting in the country. I don't want to hear about no Dallas-Fort Worth. That's great. I don't want to hear, you know, Miami-Dade, you know, the state of Miami. That's a great way to recruit. You know, Atlanta and its suburbs in Georgia, another great one. But nothing touches Southern California. I'm sorry. What
do you think, speaking of, like you said, that one is a good one. Do you think there's any dark horse coaches who will get fired that people like aren't really expecting? Like, oh, like I didn't see that one coming.
The first one that comes to mind, you know, if Jeff Wilcox at Cal doesn't beat UCLA and become bowl eligible, would not be surprised to see a change there heading into ACC play for Cal next year. That would not surprise me one bit. Another one that I think wouldn't surprise me as much. Oh, I'm trying to think. You know, my thought immediately jumped to Washington State, but I don't think they'd fire that coach after a year or two.
No.
I'm trying to think. I should have another one. You know, I would have said Jay Norvell at Colorado State. If Boise State doesn't blow that game, he's probably done, but I think he can use that fluke victory for another year's paycheck for our buddy Mechanic Jay. But yeah, I would say the number one dark horse to get fired is, fuck, who did I just say? I got a terrible memory, man. Justin Wilcox is the person I think who might get fired.
Makes sense. I mean, he's like year six or seven and nothing's really improved, so.
Nothing, and he doesn't really pump out drafts either. So, we'll see. Dang. Talking about Cal gets me depressed and sad and bored because they're a boring program. This game's not going to be boring, though. So we're talking about next week's games or this week's games. Michigan, Ohio State. You saw the name in my thing, the freak out off. I think we are going to get a soundbite of the century in this game. This is the game of the year. This is the game of the year. I'm stoked. This is so incredible. Like this, I was actively rooting for Ohio State, who I hate, to win, and Michigan, who I would have just loved to blow it, to win, just so we could have this matchup.
Oh yeah, and I do. I'm thinking Michigan's gonna kill them again.
I think Michigan wins. I think Michigan wins, and we get cringy Michigan sound bites, and then they're gonna win one that should be somewhat close in the Big Ten championship, and then they're gonna get their ass kicked by like Washington or Florida State
in the first round of the playoff.
Yep. And then Harbaugh's gonna dip. But I think Michigan's gonna win because it's out the big house this year, right? Like,
yeah,
it's at Michigan. Oh yeah. Also, you heard it here first. I am not a betting man, but if I was, put $20 on there being some sort of pregame scuffle.
Oh, yeah.
Not a chance there's not a pregame scuffle. I might even put $20 on them not shaking their hands, which, to be honest, would be a total Ryan Day loser move. Total loser move to not shake hands, but I don't put it past Ryan Day, so who knows? But I also think Michigan's going to kill him. Well, not kill him, but beat him pretty handily.
Beat him pretty handily, yeah, I think. I don't know. Michigan seems better to me, so.
Michigan seems better to me as well. So we'll see. But who knows? Marvin Harrison could take over. This is like the home bung. We've been following Ole Miss all year. You know, Zuch, Ole Miss fan. I've hopped onto the hashtag coming to the sit bandwagon. And I'm talking, I like the Egg Bowl, Mississippi versus Mississippi State. I'm talking about it because not so much more if Ole Miss wins, it essentially guarantees them a New Year's Six, would you say? Or puts them in position for a New Year's Six? Or
position. They would probably need Louisville
and Mizzou to lose.
Yeah.
Okay. And Oregon State to lose probably too to Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's the coolest thing ever that they play on Thanksgiving. And I was talking to you last week about how, off camera, about how no one gets screwed harder by the NFL adding that third Thanksgiving game than Ole Miss, Mississippi State.
Used to be the standalone third. Like, people are done eating. They're just hanging out, having a few drinks, seeing family that they don't get to see. But a couple times a year, and that would be the game you put that game on. And, I mean, usually you see some, like, yeah, they're not top-tier SEC teams, but you see guys who end up being pretty good in the NFL. I mean, you've had A.J. Brown's been in that game, Dak Prescott.
Elijah Moore, the infamous piss game. There have been some good games. I was watching a highlight. I originally had seen this clip a few years ago, and I thought it was like a joke reel where it's like the gust of wind that stops the ball midair when the Mississippi State kicker's kicking it, and it just drops. I'm like, what just happened? If you haven't seen the clip, look up. I think it's like Egg Bowl 1982 or 1983. And the Mississippi State kicker has got like a 35-40 yarder, and he kicks it, and it's straight in the gusting wind, and it literally stops. Like, you know when you hit a golf ball too high into like the wind, and it's just like the ball flight just stops and it just drops.
Oh yeah,
it's the funniest thing ever. But this game, do people eat Thanksgiving like their meals in the Grove and just hang out all day?
A lot of people will, because it's so big, the Grove, that you like they pay an extraordinary amount of money to have their stuff there. So like they have everything you could possibly, like they'll basically, if it was in like this year, it's in Starkville, but if it was in Oxford, people would basically tomorrow start setting up all their stuff. Like if so you went to campus, you would see everything start getting set up. Is
the Grove
weird
like that? Because isn't there one part of the Grove where it's like a first come, first serve, and that's when you see the mad dash?
There's possibly, I know a lot of people like to be on the side, like basically the team will walk through before the game for the walk of champions, but I know
champions of what? I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's been a while since they've actually baseball.
There we go.
Yeah, like people like to be there because you get to see all the players and all that kind of stuff. But that part, you can just walk over to that part too. It's just the Grove is like, if you imagine, I'm trying to think of how to explain it to people, it would almost be like on our campus, for example, almost our entire campus. Like if you went from towers all the way down to like where the communication sub building is, or even the sub, it's that big of stuff. And there's like four or five lanes you can like walk through, and it's right next to their student union building, and their campus is kind of like ours, like pretty small. So like
the Grove is pretty much like a third of their campus.
Yeah, the Grove's like a third of their campus, and then a little outside the Grove you have the basketball arena, and then the football stadium, and the baseball stadium's a little ways away. Then they have Fraternity Row, which you have to walk to, but so many people are in like frats and sororities there that their Fraternity Row is huge. So like a ton of people, like my dad went there and the house was so big. They had a like woman who lived there and like did the laundry and cooked food. Like they had multiple women who like did that. So it's like a smaller it's a campus.
Ball game over there at Ole Miss. It really is a different ball game. But speaking of this ball game, I think Ole Miss is going to cover the spread. It could be 21 points. Mississippi State is a team looking forward to next year. Yeah. And it's done for them because their coach literally died. Yeah. And they were like, after having a solid year, his last year there, it is a bummer for them. But hey, watch out. Jamie Chadwell, he can be a good coach for Mississippi State.
That was one of the sadder coaching deaths, Mike Leach. He was always great for sound bites and like the most random.
Yeah. Things, I love the clip of Mike Leach, and I think it's when he was playing like U of I, like one of his first years at Wazoo, and he's like starts yelling at the U of I coach, and they get into this huge argument post game. And then it turns out that like they're like neighbors on the same street because Moscow and Pullman are so close to each other. He's just like he's gonna get the huge fight with like one of his best friends on the field. But yeah, that's a good one. Speaking of, is the Iron Bowl going to be a good one?
I always like the Iron Bowl. I always enjoy the Iron Bowl. So
I think it is too. I think, like you said earlier, the Auburn is going to be close. I take that back. Closer than people think. I think Alabama wins handily.
Auburn played Georgia really close. They played Ole Miss pretty close. LSU did kill them. But I mean Auburn's always been weird like that. They can like come out and look amazing against a good team, and then a bad team just completely look like they don't even know how to play the sport. So I think Auburn knows like they can really ruin Alabama's season if they win this game.
That's what the Iron Bowl's like bred on. It's just like be the ruiner. But it's crazy. I mean, Hugh Freeze, I think this could salvage his season. This game, him winning this, is the difference between failure for first season and, oh, we got something. And it's crazy that one game can depend on that, but that's truly what it is.
If you think about it, this is how I think about it for him. If they win that, they're 7-5. You win your bowl game, you're 8-5 in your first year. And you look at it and you're like, okay, well, we lost to Georgia, Ole Miss, LSU. I don't remember the other two they lost to off the top of my head, but three pretty good teams. But if you lose and you're 6-6 and you lose, that to me, there's a big difference in looking at going 8-5 in your first year and possibly 6-7. So,
yeah,
we'll see.
It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see for sure. Moving on, we're just going to bust through these bad boys. Oregon State, probably the best like ranked versus ranked matchup this week, besides Michigan versus Ohio State. This is the Civil War. This is Oregon State. I think Oregon State's got a lot to play for, because not only can they play spoiler, but they can also shoot themselves up into like that Alamo Bowl, maybe even New Year's Six Bowl range with a win in this game.
Right. And if they, because do they have, I'm trying to think right now, do they have three losses in conference or two? Because I think if they were to, let's see, I'm pulling it up right now.
They have two. They have three.
It's Wazoo by three, which they probably should have won that game.
Hey, my man, I mean, Cam Ward. Hey, if the Heisman was only the first month, he wins it.
They've lost by three to Wazoo, three to Arizona, and two to Washington. If they had just won one of those, this would be winner goes to the Pac-12 title. So I think now, basically,
because Arizona still got a shot, right?
Yeah, but did Oregon beat Arizona, or did they not play?
I don't think they played. So if Oregon State beats Oregon, does Arizona have a shot if they win?
I think they would, because I think...
Holy moly, Washington's praying for Arizona. I'm sorry, Arizona, but...
Yeah, so I'm looking right now at Arizona. They're also probably wishing they didn't somehow lose to Mississippi State, but...
Yeah.
And USC, honestly, by two. But yeah, I mean, they play... Arizona plays Arizona State this week, so I guess it would just depend on if Arizona wins and Oregon State beats Oregon, where if Oregon's ahead of Arizona in the final
rankings
playoff thing. But the rankings, I don't know though, because like if they don't, does the Pac-12
do you like base the it off system? I don't think so. I don't know.
Because you can't wait until Tuesday. It's got to be the computer thing, because you can't wait until Tuesday to announce who someone's going to play.
Yeah.
Like who Washington's going
to
play.
I think it would have to be the computer thing as well. I really do. But I don't know. What I know with this game is that I think this game's going to be a better game than the Michigan-Ohio State game. Mm-hmm. So I think Michigan might start to run away with that. I think this game is going to be like battle to the end. Like this, like mark this in as the best game of the weekend.
Like, yeah, this one will be great.
This is like two offensive lines that play well. This is going to be a Pac-12 game. But it's going to feel like you're watching like two great Big 12 teams, if that makes sense. Or it's going to be like a great Big 10 team in Oregon State playing a great Big 12 team in Oregon, where it's like that power football versus like that spread power that the Big 12 has sometimes.
Right.
But the Big 12, you got some drama. I'm going to read these scenarios to you, okay? And these are the scenarios for the Big 12 championship game, all right? So Oklahoma remains in contention with either a loss or a win against TCU. Texas can clinch both a berth to the championship and the number one seed with a win over Texas Tech, right? So if Texas wins against Texas Tech, Oklahoma State wins, they're in, no matter what. Okay. Oklahoma would need to win, and Oklahoma State would need to lose. So that's how the Sooners get in. They need to pray for an Oklahoma State loss. If both of these teams lose, Oklahoma State and Oklahoma, if Kansas State then wins, Kansas State will sneak their way into the Big 12 championship game. Now, that's if Texas wins. If Texas loses, it becomes a shit show. That means no team can clinch a bid to the championship until Saturday. So then Texas can only clinch a berth to the championship if two of the two lost teams, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, lose on Friday or Saturday. If Texas loses and two of the three teams win, there will be three or four teams tied for the championship berth. Multiple scenarios exist in this circumstance, contingent on which team remains in the tiebreaker pool. That's the doomsday scenario. That is, if Texas loses, and then the perfect scenario lines up where the right combination of those three teams I listed, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, and Kansas State, winning and losing, it's going to be chaos. You're going to have four teams. Right now you have four teams vying for two spots. It's insane, but that's why I love it. That being said, I don't think Texas Tech stands a gosh dang chance against Texas this weekend.
I mean, it's Which I just did look it up, by the way. And if Arizona wins and Oregon loses, let me make sure I read it right. Arizona goes to the Pac-12 title game. Mm-hmm. So
that's
we could
insane.
Just
that's so insane that Arizona could be in the Pac-12 championship game.
It is. It's almost hilarious. Oh, let me go back up to here. It is Texas Tech, Texas. It just says on this ESPN article, if Texas Tech wins, the Big 12 is doomed.
That's what the article says.
Yeah. I'm talking about like playoff hopes. Okay,
well, they're
so
not wrong.
If, like you said, if Texas loses, it can still
play
in the
conference. Yeah, what's
the
doomsday scenario with Texas losing?
Okay, if Texas loses, it can still play in the conference championship game with an Oklahoma loss or an Oklahoma State loss or a Kansas State win. But a two-loss Texas as a Big 12 champ would render the head-to-head with Alabama moot. Mm-hmm. So, if Texas wins, I'm trying to see if they have any more on these. Because they probably don't have – Oklahoma's not going to the title game. So, yeah, that – I mean, Texas is like their last hope. And really, for the Pac-12, you're almost kind of – I would – I mean, I know they're all leaving, but – you're almost kind of hoping Oregon State, I mean, Oregon beats Oregon State, right?
Oh,
because that almost assures you a team going to the
It does.
Playoff.
If Oregon State wins, even if Arizona wins or loses, it's Washington or bust for them. They're not the committee, whether we think Oregon's had a tougher schedule, they're never letting a two-loss Pac-12 team, even though if they're the champion, get in over a one-loss loser of Michigan or Ohio State, or a one-loss Georgia loser of the SEC. So yeah, it's just not going to happen.
I don't know. I feel like this is setting up possibly for a Texas Tech win. Three straight wins?
Nope. Sorry. I know you got the Raider. Is that why you wore the Raider hat today? Because you wanted to stand in solidarity with the Red Raiders?
This seems like a game. This seems like a game Texas could definitely somehow jack up, but now that I said that, they
I
went
think
like 49
last year they jacked it up. I think they're not gonna forget when all the Texas Tech bros stormed the field and got in the faces of them last year. I think this is a total Sark game where Sark hangs, like you said, 60 on them, and then they just blow their load this week, and for some reason the Big 12 championship is closer than it should. That's what's gonna happen.
Oh Texas
is right. We'll see if the Raiders got on their back. Any other things that we want to talk about? I guess the only thing I have from this last week is I think we just saw the last Caleb Williams in a USC uniform. I mean, he might play this week, but what, are we kidding ourselves?
They don't have a game this week.
Oh, they're done. Yeah, and that's the last time we'll ever see him in a uniform. So
yeah, well, I highly doubt he plays in a bowl game.
Not a chance, yeah. I don't even think USC's not even ranked. So, I mean, we talked about USC in the Holiday Bowl. Usually they like taking a ranked team in the Holiday Bowl. What's – oh, my gosh. No, I just thought of a nightmare scenario, Zuch. Zuch.
In the LA Bowl.
Yep. Oh, no.
Because it's a sixth
team. The Mountain
team
West is going to get embarrassed. The Mountain West is going to get so embarrassed when they play USC. Oh, no.
It's the 16 goes right now, and basically you can take out Washington, Oregon, Arizona State, and Oregon State. They're not going to that bowl
Arizona,
game.
Oregon.
So it's basically between
Utah,
USC,
Utah,
and
UCLA.
Yeah.
And I bet that bowl wants USC or UCLA because of LA proximity.
Yep. I don't think they would hate Utah versus Boise State. That might get some fans if Boise State wins the conference title, which I don't think they're going to. But
the
good thing for the LA Bowl is they could get UNLV there, which UNLV versus USC would not be a terror. I mean, I don't know how many people would be there, but that's not a terrible bowl matchup for the LA Bowl, to be completely honest, or UCLA.
I think anyone just doesn't want Air Force. I'm sorry, Air Force. You just don't draw. I hate viewers guys online, like the guys who are like, well, this only drew this and you only drew this. It's like, well, why don't you watch the game, you effing loser? So but Air Force doesn't draw views. I don't know how many Air Force service members, salute the service, thank you all. But I don't know how many of you guys are hanging out in El Segundo or Manhattan Beach, just chilling, can go to the LA Bowl. You know what I mean? But but no, my nightmare scenario is Boise State having to play USC, and we would embarrass the Mountain West, man. I think any Mountain West team would embarrass the Mountain West versus USC. So that's not a Boise specific thing, but I just have a bad feeling about how that game would play out.
Yeah,
I have it messed up in my head where they have their backup quarterback, like some 5-star true freshman who can use one game because he won't burn his red shirt, like throws for 5 touchdowns. And it's like, I think it's Malachi Nelson's his name, because I remember him getting recruited to USC. It's like Malachi Nelson for Heisman next year, ? It's like, oh boy.
Or Miller Moss, whoever this guy is that I'm looking at right now.
Oh, Miller Moss. Yeah, he was like a 4 or 5-star too.
He looks like the guy who's going to lead USC to a national title just based on his profile picture. So
you got to look up where he's from. He's from
Los Angeles.
What? I'm going to find out what high school he went to, because he needs to be from, if he's from suburban Orange County, he is Matt Leinart reincarnated, or Carson Palmer reincarnated, or
he went to, think to of the name,
Sam Darnold. He needs to go to like the most, like a total douche school, and that's how USC wins.
Mission Hills, California, is where he's from.
Oh, boom! Mission Viejo. That yep, their win. Pencil it in. USC, Big Ten champion next year. But yeah. I knew it. That's, you know, we can talk about Caleb Williams. He grew up in what, DC, right?
I think so.
Yeah, USC's not going to win with a QB from DC. You saw how the Max Brown experiment went, and he's from Washington. USC needs a quarterback from, like, you remember that old fake reality show, like Laguna High School, Laguna Hills. Yeah, they need like someone from like that high school. They need just that kid. Like that's what USC needs.
Then they win.
Yep. That we just broke the formula. Lincoln Riley, what are you doing? All right. Well, let's get into the meme matchup this week. That was a lot, man. That was a lot of games to burn through. I think we did a pretty good job. Weekend. It was a great, great weekend. But yeah, meme matchup. I know I went first last week. So Zouch, what is your meme matchup this week?
Clemson, South Carolina.
Why is that?
The coaches, the like, it's like weird thing where that Dabo Sweeney's like kind of on the hot seat, and really Shane Beamer is too. Like Shane Beamer is a weird hire when it happens. That whole game is just funny to me because like it'll be packed out, and I really can't wait for that game. I mean, I can. I'm probably not going to watch as much, but.
Is South Carolina bowl eligible? Do they even have a chance to be bowl eligible?
I'm looking it up right now. I think they are 5-6, but let me double check on that. I mean, I think Clemson's getting a little bit, if I'm being honest with you, Clemson's getting a little bit of a rough rap this year because they've lost that. Yeah, Duke killed them, but they lost by 8-7 and 7-7 in their other game. So it's not like, you know. They I don't know. I think people are acting like they're like 5-7. Yeah, so South Carolina's 5-6.
Okay, so they're playing for bowl eligibility. And I agree with you on the Clemson part. I think it's a bad year, but for anyone to think Dabo Sweeney should be put on the hot seat, you're out of your friggin' mind. It's like with any great player, like you saw it with Kobe on the Lakers. I'm starting to see it with Steph on the Warriors. You saw it with Tom Brady in New England, and it started to go poor for him, and that's why he left in such a sour way. It's when you get someone of that status, for better or for worse, you're married to that person until they want to go, even if it is detrimental to everything else. Like Dabo gets to coach at Clemson for as long as Dabo wants, and unless you want to, and unless Clemson wants to be the bad guys in the situation. Like Dabo gets the coach. And look, I think Dabo's kind of corny. I think he's kind of a tool sometimes. But the man wins football games. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
And he's so he's so ironically funny. The hickory dickory dock. The mouse ran up the clock. All-time video by Dabo Sweeney. But my meme matchup of the week is RIP, pour one out. The last Pac-12 regular season game ever. UCLA versus Cal. at 7:30 on ESPN. Last time we'll get Pac-12 after dark. Sad day for everyone, but it'll be, let's treat this not like a funeral, but like a celebration of life. Let's remember all the fun times we had watching Pac-12 after dark. I and Mountain West after dark is like the true sicko like stuff. Like if like, cause yeah. I watch Mountain West after dark sometimes. Like if Pac-12 after dark was the club, like the Hakkasan nightclub in Vegas, Mountain West after dark is Jim's Alibi on Broadway, and you're just ripping 15 beers and you're just having yourself a night. But Pac-12 after dark, what's your favorite Pac-12 after dark moments or some of your favorites? As we one, reminisce and on Pac-12
it's
after
funny
dark.
That you say that about Jim's Alibi. It's a different bar, but it was one Saturday night, and me and my friend Troy, we were living together at the time, and you've been to this house, but it was right down the street from Crickets, that house. And we're like, okay, let's just go, like, let's go get a couple beers, walk down to Crickets, get a couple beers, like, hang out. Because, like, at the time, Washington State was beating UCLA, like, legitimately, it was, like, 42-3.
I remember the game. DTR game.
It was, like,
DTR legacy
four
game.
Or five touchdowns.
Yeah.
And we get there, we're having a couple beers, like, shooting pool or something, playing darts. I don't remember what we were doing, but we were just bored at the house. We're like, let's go out for a little bit. And I kid you not, I think Sean was there right as Washington State starts to come back. There's just this brawl between all these guys in a frat in the middle of Crickets. And you see a Wazoo fan just like screaming at the TV because he's excited, and the bouncer's like pushing people outside. It was like, it was like neither team was going to be that good, Washington State or UCLA, but I gotta see what that score was, because I've never seen a game like that.
Didn't UCLA come back like 35 points in like a quarter and a half?
Yeah, the final score is 67-63.
Yeah.
But at one point it was okay. So with 3 minutes and 48 seconds left in the third quarter, UCLA scored to make it 49-24. Mm-hmm. It was 49-24 Washington State at that point. Jeez. And then there was UCLA won 67-63. That's insane to me.
It's insane.
It's better. Anthony Gordon lost the game in which he went 41 of 61 for 570 yards with 9 touchdowns and 2 interceptions.
They lost.
They lost.
See, this is the Pac-12 After Dark was awesome. Three moments come to mind for me with the Pac-12 After Dark, and I say these because I watched these live, all of them. The first one is the Josh Rosen comeback against Texas A&M. That was absolutely incredible.
On Fox, like that Sunday night game, right? Is that the one you're talking about?
Yep, it wasn't on ESPN, so I guess it wasn't traditionally Pac-12 After Dark, but it was a Pac-12 game that started in the evening West Coast time, and that game was just incredible to watch. Also, the clip, you remember when Wazoo played, I think it was Stanford or Washington at Lumen Field, and I watched this live. It's used in clips all the time, but the guy who's shoveling a cylinder of kettle corn into his mouth, and he's just going like, all-time Pac-12 After Dark moment, and Pac-12 After Dark moment that I was at in person was when Khalil Tate beat Cal, Davis Webb led Cal, and he ran for like 270 yards, Khalil Tate. It was like his first national breaking out game versus Cal, and it was like it went into overtime or double overtime, and Cal either went for two and didn't get it or Arizona went for two and got it. But it was just I was there live in the stands with Cody, resident Sooner Nation leader Cody, and Zach Boyson, member of the In the End Zone podcast. And it was just a fun time at Berkeley. There was these two Berkeley guys, and they asked me and Cody, who were in high school at the time, hey, like, do you guys know where we can get drugs? And me and Cody are looking at him like, dude, like, we're in high school. Like, what are you talking about? Like, just two hammered Berkeleyites. And we were just like, what? And we're just like, they're like, yeah, never mind. And we're like, what the hell was that? But I'm gonna miss Pac-12.
Well, even tomorrow. Like if you go back with the Pac-12, like when USC was in its heyday, like after the Bush and Leiner years, those games are always at nighttime. Like the one where Stanford beat them, and Stanford
Oregon State
like,
beat them.
The Rogers brothers like went off and beat them, and you would have like that. And it's always show, and it, like I counted as a Pac-12 after dark game, even though technically a Mountain West team was in it. But like, I mean, Reggie Bush was good, but like the game that you always see, like the highlight of Reggie Bush, you always see is that cutback against Fresno State. Yeah. And they won like 50-43. It was like, and like people are like, Fresno, like, why is Fresno State close with UCLA? Well, it's the Pac, and they, those games used to come on. I'll never forget this. Like, they used to come on like, not even early satellite days, but like peak, like before streaming of sports, really. Like those games would come on, like for us at least in Florida, like Fox Sports California. And like you'd have to like randomly hope you had that game to like, oh, I want like, it's, you know, midnight, 1 a.m. here. Like I'll be like up with my dad and there we like be trying to find the game. And it would be like, oh, USC Fresno State or Cal Stanford or whoever it was. Like,
yeah,
great times. Funny.
It was great times. I think at least there's two good things that might come out of this. I think Mountain West After Dark, true. And I've seen, what's it called? Fox and FS1 try to rebrand. Have you seen the Mountain West After Dark like logos on the late game? So Mountain West After Dark, I think, is going to get even bigger. And then also, I think, sorry, Big 10 and Big 12, I think you guys are just going to have to get used to the West Coast style of those late Saturday games. Like, love it. Like, it stinks, but it'll be fun. RIP the Pac-12 After Dark. Great viewing experience. Let's end the show doing what we think our playoff rankings are going to be after this weekend going into conference championship weekend. So this is not our rankings now because the rankings that they already dropped today. So this is predicting what do we think the rankings are going to be next week after rivalry weekend. Should we even both say one? Because we have the same one, don't we?
Georgia.
Yeah. Enough said. My number two is the Michigan Wolverines. I think they beat Ohio State, and I think stuff happens. Here's where it gets interesting, or could. Number three, moving up, I think it's the Washington Huskies. I think Washington kills Wazoo.
Washington had three.
And they move up. Here's where it gets even more dicey. Florida State comes back in at number four.
Back in at four?
Who do you have?
Yep. At four right now, I'm going to have Oregon. I think Oregon's going to, with the win over Oregon State.
All right.
And I think that Florida State game is going to be close. And I think they'll put Oregon up to have that. Oh, it's 3-4. The winner's already going, but I think
that makes sense. I don't hate that because I have Oregon at number five. I think Oregon, and like I said, if you're four through, if you're seven and in, although Texas might get screwed, I think there's seven teams that control their own destiny. It's Georgia, Michigan, Washington, Florida State, Oregon, Alabama, and Ohio State. Those seven teams control their own destiny. Texas, I would say like 50% does. But then my sixth-ranked team is not Texas. It's not Ohio State. It's Alabama. Like I said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Alabama's sitting there like a stalking pack of hyenas, just waiting and waiting to pounce. Like they could care less that they are outside the circle right now. They are going to come in when they deem necessary, and Papa Saban says sick 'em to the dogs, and it's that SEC championship could be incredible. Tied versus Georgia.
Mine is going to be it's going to sound a little weird, but I do think Texas is going to lose this weekend.
Okay.
So I had Georgia, Michigan, Washington, Oregon, Florida State at five. Yeah. I think Alabama is going to be six.
Six?
I think Texas
loses. And
yeah, I don't think Texas is going to be in the top six. Yeah, I think Texas is going to lose this weekend.
I mean, if they lose this weekend, they might not be in the top eight. No.
Yeah, they're. I mean, well, if you look behind there, you have.
Think, yeah.
It depends on what, like, Missouri, Louisville, and Penn State do. And I guess.
Oh, man. That's a disgusting trio of teams. Louisville, Mizzou, and the Fighting James Franklins of Penn State. That's pathetic.
Yeah, they're not fun. Nothing is fun about any of those teams, so.
Nothing is fun. The only thing fun
except
about
Cody, Louisville, every time you bring up Missouri, talks about how hard their running back runs and that he came from Division III or whatever it was.
Cody has a soft spot in his heart for anyone who doesn't get recruited straight to, like, a power school straight out of high school. And sorry that I don't think Cam Schrader looks real good. Did he look real good when they played Georgia? No. He ran into a real linebacker then. Killed him. Cam Schrader. I'm sure you're a fine running back. But like I said, Mizzou is the kind of school to lose to a G5 in the New Year's Six after hyping up all their fans.
Yeah.
That is the Mizzou thing to do. And partially, I don't care that my vision is being clouded with Mizzou because I think Eli Drinkwitz is a tool. I've said it every week. He's a tool. And I don't think he's a good person at all. This is just me. This is just my opinion. So don't take it as a fact. But the fact of the matter is that if Mizzou goes to a New Year's Six, they are going to lose. And you could put that in the bank because it's cash money. It's cash money. It is a cash bet for you betting folks. Bet Ole Miss not winning a game in the New Year's Six Bowl, if they make it. If Mizzou makes it to the Capital One, like Orlando Bowl, they'll beat the team by 50, in my opinion. No way Mizzou wins New Year's Six.
What I think is going to happen with Mizzou, I mean, they play – who did we say they play – no, Kentucky plays Louisville. Missouri plays – who did we say Missouri plays this year? Or this week, sorry.
Let me look it up.
Arkansas, okay. If they lose that game, I want to make sure I have these right. Close that. I really think that they're going to put them versus Kansas in that Texas Bowl. I wanted to make sure I had that bowl. Either that or the Liberty Bowl. No, I think
Mizzou,
they'll get the Border War. That's a big – I mean, Missouri, Kansas, like –
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because didn't they, like, one of the schools, like, bitched out last year? Or allegedly, both sides said the other school was the one who cowered out. So that means both of them were too scared to play each other. Like, when schools say, oh, they won't play me, it means you both don't want to play each other. It's like the hold me back, bro. And then when you let go, it's like, oh, I don't want to fight.
Yeah, so I just
Mizzou
think
versus
that
Kansas would be good.
Yeah, I mean, they'll look like that's a good bowl game to have, in my opinion, if you're those two schools. Like, you're playing a former, I guess you don't consider them, they're still rivals, but you don't play each other every year now, and the game's in Memphis, so, like, people somewhat will want to go there, I imagine.
The Liberty Bowl's not some Joe Schmo bowl. Like, that's a bowl that's been around for a while. Like, it's not like the Cheez-It McCheesy bowl. Like, it's...
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's a solid bowl.
And Kansas is what has three losses right now. If Kansas wins this weekend, they'll be 8-4. They play Cincinnati. They should win that game. Kansas, damn, I didn't realize Kansas was so had lost the last two by a combined 7 points. But 8-4 Kansas, 9-3 Missouri. Like, if you're not going to play, then you'll both be in the top 25. Or Kansas should be close. Like, why don't even have rivals anymore?
Don't even have rivals, and you can bet your ass that Chase Daniel will be at that game, or Chase Daniels. Yeah. He'll be at the game.
Todd Reising,
maybe Aqib Talib. So maybe the whole late 2000s crew can get over there for both of the schools. Exactly. But yeah, that's it. That was signing. This is the end of the last regular season show. Doing this all year. This has been great.
Yeah.
Thank you. To all listening, thank you to Zeus. This has been a fun ride this regular season. It always is a fun ride.
It has. And we get championship game. It's going to be excellent. If everyone wins who's supposed to be, we are going to have so many playoff eliminators next week that I wish the stupid Big Ten would just do like everyone else and get rid of the divisions, because you could have, I mean, if Michigan, Ohio State is like a 1-point game,
they
who
just play
would not
again.
want to see that the next week, like, instead of Michigan playing, who I think freaking Iowa is.
We could have made Iowa and Nebraska the mean matchup, although that just might be the sad matchup. That's the cream matchup, because that's just, you have to eat a big bowl of ice cream because you're sad watching that game.
It is definitely Iowa. They've already clinched a spot. So,
and Brian Ferentz isn't even going to be there. Like, what's the point if Brian Ferentz isn't trying to be on the quest for 25 points a game?
It's just so funny to me to look at them, and they are 9-2, which they have scored over 30 points one time this season. Once.
No, it is incredible. And they do this every year. It's not like...
they have scored less than 20 points. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Didn't mean to click on that. 6 times they have scored less than 20 points. 6.
That's insane. That's only Iowa, though, and only college football, right? Like, that is, it is, those are the intricacies I love. That, like, Iowa, like, this is a team that should be bad in all facets. And they're going to be playing for a chance to pretty much go to the Rose Bowl. Like, if they win the Big 12, if they win the Big 10, they're going to play in the Rose Bowl. So, we will see. Enough Iowa talk, Zuch. You got anything else?
Nothing else. Everyone enjoy your Thanksgiving and watch some good football this weekend.
All right, everybody, enjoy Thanksgiving. We will see you next week with a conference champions extravaganza. So stay tuned for that.
Peace, everybody.
Signing off.